بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت: رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو بالموت عنده قدح فيه ماء، وهو يدخل يده في القدح ثم يمسح وجهه بالماء ثم يقول: اللهم أعني على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت. رواه الترمذي. This hadith, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought it into the chapter مَا يَقُولُهُ مَنْ أَيْسَ مِنْ حَيَاتِهِ. That person who ostensibly feels that he has reached the end of his life, there is no hope of cure from his illness, what should he say? The first hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha was the narrator. Obviously, these refer to the incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that occurred during what ulama refer to as maradul wafat, the terminal illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the previous hadith, just to recap, we learned the dua: Allahumma ighfirli warhamni walhiqni bil rafiq al ala. O Allah, forgive me, have mercy upon me, and join me with the lofty companions. In this hadith, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was at the last stages of his life. Death was in front of him. He had a container in which there was water. He was entering his hand into the container and thereafter wiping his face with the water. As we learn from this and other ahadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards the latter part of his life, his illness, a very large part of it consisted of severe fever. The whole body was burning up with the heat. And we learned that when someone is suffering from fever, normally water is used to give some sort of comfort and coolness. So she says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in front of him was a container with water. He was putting his hand into the water and thereafter he was wiping his face with the water. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ. And then he was saying, this is, in this hadith also we learn a dua that one who is in the last stages of life should recite. What we have to realize is that it's very, very essential and important that as death approaches, then we have to sever all connections with the world and focus primarily towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging forgiveness, begging the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to repair our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learn that the separation of the body from the soul, this is what happens at the time of death. Allahu yatawaffal anfusa hina mawtiha. Allahu yatawaffal anfusa hina mawtiha. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Many verses in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala describes this, that what actually is more than death is when the soul is taken out of the body. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Surah Bani Israel is mentioned, they ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the soul of man. قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Tell them that the ruh and the soul is from the amr of Allah. So this separation of the ruh and the soul, separation of the soul from the body, is not void of difficulty and pain. It is something that is very, very painful. This is what we learn in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at that time, to regularly supplicate, beg Allah Ta'ala, ask Allah Ta'ala for ease, ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. This is what we learn in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this dua: Allahumma a'inni, O Allah, assist me and help me, ala ghamaratil maut. In other words, shiddatul maut. O Allah, help me over the difficulties of mort and death. وَسَكَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد. Allah Ta'ala describes the great trials, tribulations, challenges that lie ahead. Our whole life in this world, in reality, we are supposed to be preparing for mort, preparing for death, for the time our departure from this world. كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ. One principle we are taught, how the life is lived, that is how the death will occur. So if the correct preparation is made, then inshallah, the time of departure from this world, there will be ease and afiyat. But we learn, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also was tested so greatly. Tested, two reasons. One is obviously rafa darajat, the rank of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being raised. Secondly, Allah Ta'ala put His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through all this, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us one important principle and rule. Whenever you face challenges or hardships, then take your cue and your direction from me. In other words, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? So, practically, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through fever, he went through sickness, terrible sickness. He went through a lot of pain in the latter part of his life. All this, Allah Ta'ala practically showed us. He was qudwa, uswatun hasana, our beautiful example for us to follow that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the previous hadith, important dua we learn, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni walhiqni bi rafiqil a'la. And this hadith, Allahumma inni ala ghamaratil maut wa sakaratil maut. Oh Allah, help me and assist me. Over the word ghamara and sakara, the meanings are very similar. In other words, shadaid, difficulties, hardships, tests, trials, tribulations, pain, as I said, the separation of the soul from the body is not void of some level of discomfort and pain and difficulty and hardship. So this is advocated that at that time seek Allah Ta'ala's help, Allah Ta'ala's protection, seek afiyat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Babu istihbabi wasiyati ahli al-mariid wa man yakhdimuhu bil ihsani ilayhi wa sabri ala ma yashuq min amrihi wa kadha al-wasiya بمن قرب بمن قرب بمن قرب سبب موته بحد أو قصاص ونحوهما. Very interesting heading Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings, that the advisability or the preferability that the family of a sick person, we find that when a person particularly suffers from a debilitating illness, Allah protect us. Sometimes you find a person mentally starts retrogressing at the latter stages of life, Alzheimer's or forgetfulness, all sorts of difficulties, mental sickness, sometimes physical sickness, lose the ability to utilize the limbs of the body. So at that time, that particular sick person requires a lot of khidmat, requires a lot of service. And in serving somebody who is going through difficulty and hardship, there will be this element of possibly of intolerance, of impatience, etc. will become upset. Why me? Why not somebody else? This afat, musibat, now I've got to look after. It's not something that is easy. Reward is tremendous. So in this particular hadith, or this chapter that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought, is that what advice should be given to the family of the sick person. Wasiyatu ahli al-mariid. And the one who is making khidmat, advise that person bil ihsani ilayh, to do good. To do good towards the sick person. The sick person is going through such pain, such hardship. Be kind towards that person. Don't become upset. Don't become impatient. وَالصَّبْرِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشْمَى يَشُقُّ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. As the difficulties increase, make sabr. And sometimes, the reason Imam Nawawi rahimullah has mentioned the latter part of this heading is because of the, we will understand it clearly when we see the incident that he has brought. Sometimes, in an Islamic country, where there is qada, where there is a penal code of Islam, then sometimes a person is sentenced to death. There are certain sins or transgressions, where in Shariat we have what we call Had. Had is a penal code of Shariat. Or there is Qisas. Qisas is another term, simplest translation or closest thing to it is law of retribution. Life for a life, limb for a limb, in our layman's terms. Obviously a lot of this terminology is very difficult for us to understand in a context where it's not an Islamic country, or we are not very, very familiar with the laws of Shariat pertaining to aspects like this, because they are not being implemented nowadays. Very few Islamic countries in the world, and particularly where Islamic Sharia is being enforced, that is almost no hone ke barabar, it's not even there. So it's difficult sometimes for us to relate to some of these things. But Imam Nawawi Rahimullah says that what advice should be given to the family of someone or to the associates of someone upon whom the death sentence has been passed, and such a person is now going to be put to death because of had, because of a penal code, or because of the law of retribution. As I mentioned, we'll understand it a little more clearly when we see the hadith or the incident that he brings in support of this particular heading. An Imran ibn al-Husayn radiyallahu anhuma anna imra'atan min Juhayna atat an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa hiya hubla min az-zina. Imran ibn Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma mentions that a woman from the Juhayna tribe came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was pregnant at that time. However, the pregnancy occurred as a result of zina or fornication. She was a married woman and she had made zina with someone. So she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, asabtu haddan fa'aqimhu alayya. The had, in other words, the penal code of Shariat, has fallen upon me, so I am exhorting you to establish Allah Ta'ala's had over me. Now what is the had of Allah? Or what is the rule or regulation of Shariat if a married person has to commit zina? There we learn from Quran also that it is rajam. In other words, the person has to be stoned to death. Now we find that especially in this modern age, where the enemies of Islam are there also, they try to create this impression that these laws or regulations of Shariat are pagan rituals, there's no human rights, etc. But it's important, first rule or principle, when it comes to aspects like this, where sometimes we may not fully comprehend Allah Ta'ala's hikmat and wisdom, one golden rule the Quran gives us, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنْ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. When Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have decided something, have told you that this is the law, this is the regulation, this is the rule, etc., then your iman does not allow you to question that. Nor does your iman allow you to find false, na'uzu billah, in that and put forward your own ideas. Except that the hikmat and wisdom of Allah Ta'ala far supersedes our wisdom or understanding. If a person, Allah save us, a marital relationship, there's nothing worse than this, that a husband or wife goes through, that if one partner has to cheat upon the other. Islam teaches us purity. Islam teaches us preservation of the family code and system. Islam, very strong deterrent has been given from getting involved in this type of relationship. Today, unfortunately, because of the level of behayai and shamelessness around us, the TV, internet, all these things, is shamelessness in every direction. This is why temptation is there all the time. Understand, in an Islamic country, there won't be all these things. There will be this level of parda, there will be this level of lowering one's gaze, etc. There will be the cleanliness of society, etc. In other words, Islam, the deterrent is very strong, but the environment also makes it almost impossible for a person to go and commit such a thing. And then when it comes to stoning someone to death, We find it is almost impossible to prove that. The laws are so strict. Four people have to witness that somebody did that act. And not just witness it, fuqaha have written like how you get a surma dani, and when you get a bottle of surma, you get the needle that goes into it. Like how you see the needle entering the surma bottle, like that, four people in clear daylight without any impediment have to clearly see that this occurred for us to establish in an Islamic court the penalty of a rajam or stoning to death. So to prove it like that is impossible. The only time we see in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also that rajam or stoning to death was this hukam was passed is when the person themselves came and admitted that Ya Rasulullah, like this woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Hubla min al-Zina, she was pregnant as a result of the zina which she committed, a married woman, and she says, Ya Rasulullah, sabtu haddan, I have broken Allah's law. I can't live with myself. I want to cleanse and purify myself. فَأَقِمْهُ عَلَيَّ So I am asking you, I am advocating. Here, obviously, you're not going to prove the crime because she is admitting to the crime. In this instance, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no, obviously, option. The had of Allah Ta'ala to be established. We've run out of time. Inshallah, we'll continue.